Tonight I want to do just a standalone Bible study on one of the Psalms, and Psalm 71. Next Wednesday evening we will begin a new series of studies both on Sunday evening and Wednesday night, but starting on March the 10th is when I will start that Bible study on the life of Job. And certainly with all of the challenges that people are facing today and all the challenges that we have faced and I'm sure that we will face in the future, I think the book of Job, some date it as early as the book of Genesis. It's one of the oldest books in all of the Bible, but it certainly is applicable to where you and I live tonight. Well, in Psalm chapter 71, this psalm follows a fourfold theme. There are four things tonight we are going to look at. We're going to look at the trials of this writer in the 71st Psalm. We're going to look, secondly, at the troubles of this psalmist. Thirdly, we're going to look at the trust of where this psalmist placed his trust. And then fourthly, we'll look at the testimony of the psalmist. Now, there are various ideas on who wrote it. Some think Samuel, some think Jeremiah, some think David. Perhaps more probably think David wrote it, but nonetheless, it really doesn't matter who the author is or who penned the words. It's the applicability of what you and I can take away. It's the application that we can take and apply to our lives. I want to read verses 1 through 6, and I want to hone in on the trials of this particular psalmist. The psalmist said, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually on you, of you." Notice the psalmist himself is approaching the last leg of his journey. As I look around in the world today, I think that, as you and I go through the various stages of our life, as we are children, then we grow into our teen years, and then we grow into our 20s and our 30s, our 40s, our 50s. Must I keep going? I think you get the picture. And the interesting thing about it is that life changes in all of those various decades of life, or our perspective changes. We look at things somewhat differently than we did at some particular point in our life. But here the psalmist is looking at life in later years of life. His strength has been spent in the service of Almighty God. He's run the good race. He's kept the faith. He's almost finished his course. And the aging years would find many obstacle courses along the pathway. The psalmist pleads with God for strength to be able to finish well. In verses 1 through 3, he gives his expression of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. I was reading just this past week, David Livingston, one of the greatest missionaries, was out in the far reaches of the jungle. David Livingston was not anywhere close to anybody of his same skin tones. But there in the deepest parts of the jungle, he had people that were with him. There were three other people that were watching at night. One would stay and watch because they were in dangerous territory. There were all kinds of challenges and obstacles that David Livingston would meet. He's older in his lifetime. And as one who stood watch in the night, even drifted off to sleep. But the next morning, he awakened only to find David Livingston was on his knees, kneeling in an attitude of prayer, but he had died. When I thought about that, I thought about senior saints who have given their lives in service of the Lord. And so the psalmist here looks at the expression of God's faithfulness, and his everlasting arms are there for him. The psalmist states that his confidence in these verses are not only in the character of God, but also in the compassion of the faithful God in whom he has trusted. Let me tell you, we look at life in various stages. In fact, when I was working on one degree that I have in the field of gerontology, and those of you that take gerontol understand that that deals with old age, the ology of it is the study of the aging process. I determined at that particular point in time when I was working with senior adults, I wanted to determine what I wanted to grow up to be and what I did not want to grow up to be. Some people grow up to be sweet and kind in their older years. Some grow up to be very bitter and hostile. But it's very interesting, in that study we looked at life in three different stages as far as the elderly. There was what was called the young elderly, and there was the middle elderly, and then there was the old. Now, I'll let you determine where you fit in that particular stage in life. But you know, there are a lot of older people that desperately feel insecure. They need to feel secure. I was visiting with a senior adult just in the recent past, and that person was sharing with me some of the challenges they were facing in their aging life. And some of those things were of the nature that it had really brought heartache and tear to their eyes. Oftentimes, their natural defenses against life's injuries are gone. Many of them are retired from their employment. Their health is failing. Their friends are dying. Their minds are not as sharp as they once were. Their income is greatly reduced, and often they feel defenseless. They feel vulnerable. And the psalmist certainly felt this way. He needed, more than anything in all the world, he needed God. His confidence would be in the one who said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be a present help to you in time of trouble." And so in verses 1 through 3 there, he expresses God's faithfulness. But in verses 4 through 6, we see his experience of God's faithfulness. Notice the psalmist has three things to say about his trials. In verse 4, where he goes when his trials have met him, he says he goes to God. He takes his case to God. He's been trusting God for a long, long time. I thought about a couple of hymns that you and I sing. His faith was in God. The songwriter said, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge beneath the healing, cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me and will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace, oh for grace, oh for grace to trust him more." Let me tell you, the psalmist knew where to go. Where do I go? Who do I run to? As age creeps in and challenges and obstacles, I find it on my pathway. But notice something else he experiences in God's faithfulness, what he knows in his trial. there in verse 5, his mind is wandering back through the years, back to his childhood days. God had proven his faithfulness and trustworthiness when he was just a boy, and throughout his stages in life, he's confident that God will still be faithful and that he can trust in the God of his childhood because God had never let him down. When I think of Benjamin Disraeli, who reached life's later years and he looked back over the past life, he was a novelist, he was a statesman, but his summation of life was filled with bitterness and sourness. Listen to what Benjamin Disraeli said. He said, "Youth is mistake. Manhood, a struggle. Old age, a regret." You know, there are lots of people tonight that would find themselves in that category of life. I remember some years ago, I did a lady's funeral here in town. She was not a member of this church, but she was a lovely person. And I remember she was around 90 years old. She had a brilliant mind. But one of the things that she wanted read at her memorial service that day was a letter she had written to her children. And I remember just the very first part of it. She said, "No regrets and no reserves." I've often thought of that through the years as I have watched people struggle with various things. No regrets. She said to my children, "I have no regrets. I have no reserves." How many people in life can truly say that? But you see, the psalmist's view of the past was not like Benjamin Disraeli's. It certainly was not like the lady I alluded to there in her memorial service. The psalmist went back to his birth and how that God had proven himself over and over, and God was good to him in every circumstance of his early life. The psalmist knows from life's trials that God planned the circumstances here of his birth, and all of the circumstances of his life would also be taken care of by the faithful God. Scripture says, "His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." But there's another thing there we see about his experiences, why he grows in his trial in verse 6. He said, my praise shall be continually of thee. Let me tell you, to praise God is a volition. It's a choice. It's one that you and I have to take and make in our daily life. And the psalmist was saying, regardless of come what may, God is to be praised. And the psalmist is saying, I will praise him. I will praise him regardless of come what may. Let me tell you, that's a challenge in and of itself. Do you agree with that tonight? Do you find yourself challenged every day of life with, if it's not problems within your own family of your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and what they're experiencing in their lives, it will be something in your life perhaps. Maybe not to be able to have the mobility to go as you once went. Let me tell you what, you don't miss the water till the well run dry. You don't miss electricity until they shut it off. Let me tell you, you don't miss your health until your health has suddenly crashed in around you and it changes life forever. There's the second thing in verses 7 through 12 tonight. He not only spoke about his trouble, his trials in verse 1 through 6, but in verse 7 through 13, let's look at five different things in verse 7. The problem he was finding in verse 7. Notice he says, "I have become as a wonder to many." What he's saying there is people are watching, people are looking, people notice how you respond in all situations of life. You know, I think that's why you and I have to go around with a constant prayer in our heart every day. as the songwriter said, I would be prayerful through each busy moment. I would be constantly in touch with God. You know why? Because if you and I are not constantly in touch with God, I can assure you something is going to happen throughout your day or days that is going to challenge where you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord. If you focus intently upon the circumstances, then your happenstance will not be very happy. Notice what he says in verse 7. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. The psalmist is saying, this is where I go in my time of trouble. And the problem that he was finding here was, as people were looking at his life, he was a wonder to many and in many respects of life. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you a wonder, whether you're young, middle-aged, or older? Are you a wonder tonight to people? Do they look at you with awe and wonder where your strength comes from, where your grace comes from, where your ability to be kind comes from? Notice in verse 8, we see the praise he was formulating. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Folks, let me tell you, you've seen it, I've seen it. We've seen people be ugly. Let me tell you, you can look around at others and determine, is that the kind of person I want to be? Is this kind of person that I want to be? I've seen people that eventually had to go to nursing homes and their families dreaded to go see them, because they knew how they were going to respond. They were not happy. They wanted to go back home. The family didn't visit enough. If you were there every day, you still were not there enough. And I've seen other people that took it in stride and determined that life may deal me a lemon, but I'll do the best I can to make lemonade and not let that show to other people. How many times the praise the psalmist was formulating there in verse 8. Notice in verse 8, let my mouth be filled with your praise. Do you pray that each day? Lord, today let my mouth be filled with your praise. And everything I do and everything I say, and as people look at me. And then the third thing he sees here about troubles is in verse 9, the pressure he feels. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. How many times in 40 years have I walked nursing home halls and I have seen the downtrodden, the depressed, the oppressed? How many times have I walked past rooms and saw people that were once engaged in church life, that had the joy of the Lord, were excited about coming to church, and then they no longer could come? And I've often thought about this verse in the Psalm 71, where this elderly psalmist said, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. I don't know what I was even pondering last night, but suddenly when I went to bed last night, Johnny, I went back to college days. I began to think about different people, and it was absolutely amazing. I surprised myself with a lot of the people that I still knew their names. I could still call. Well, that's been 48, 49, 50 years ago. And, I don't know what it was, but just momentarily, a moment's vacation of remembering some great times, some great people, some that are with us and some that are in heaven tonight. I thought about this verse as I thought about the many aging around the world tonight in the hospitals, those that have been isolated this past year. I was in the hospital yesterday for the first time in 1 year. And I thought about this verse, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. You know, I've often wondered, is it that a lot of people cannot face? I hear people saying, how do you do it? How do you walk those hospital halls? How do you visit all those people in the nursing homes and not walk away depressed? Well, I never said it didn't depress me. I just try not to let it show. I just keep pushing it down, because all of us at some point or other will face situations in life that are not pleasing to think about. And I've had people say, I just can't go to the nursing home. I just can't do that. Well, you know, I'm glad somebody can. If somebody didn't go, guess what? They would be forsaken. They would be forgotten. And then notice he says something else here in verse 10 and 11. He speaks about the persecution he's facing. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. And so in his troubles, he is seeing the problem he's facing, the praise he's formulating, the pressure he's feeling, the persecution he's facing from those that were his enemies. And then in 12 and 13, the prayer he was focusing. Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. And so he goes through this litany of these five various things in his time of old age. And then thirdly tonight, this psalm gives a third fold of one of the fourfold, and it's the trust. Notice there are two things about his trust. In verses 14 and 15, we see a song. But I will hope continually. Notice hope. Hope tonight is one of the greatest, strongest things that humanity has. But I'm grateful tonight that my hope is in a living hope. My hope is in the living, risen Christ. I hope in him and no other. There are a lot of people in the world tonight that have no hope. They are hopeless because they do not have this wonderful God the psalmist is speaking about. And so his song, there's a song that says you can have a song in your heart in the night. And so we see a song in verse 14 and 15. And then he says in 15, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness. Notice 14, but I will hope. He didn't say just some of the time. He didn't say spontaneously. He says, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. In other words, in his trials, in his problems that he's pursuing in his trust, I will praise you more and more. The song Barb sang tonight really touched my heart. The cross. When I think of the cross, it moves me. What about you? Notice then we see in verse 15 there his song. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. And so as he's trusting, he gives this song, he sings this song in verse 14 and 15, and then he speaks in verse 16 of his strength. I will go. Notice the volitional choice that he makes. I will go. Have you ever seen older people that just say, I don't want to do anything anymore? It's hard to move them because their strength is depleted. Their strength has dissipated. Notice he says there, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. I will make mention of your righteousness. Notice he says, He wants to pass that on from generation to generation. And it's only of the righteousness of God that he speaks there. And then lastly tonight, we see the testimony in verses 17 to 24. I want to look at, he looks at the present. Look at 17, 18, 19. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. You have taught me from my youth. I think about our children down there tonight. Let me tell you, kids that grow up in church life, that grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, I want you to think about the millions tonight that do not grow up in church. And they grow up and they do not have that foundation on which to build their lives. And so he looks to the past, oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. He drifts back through the years. And then he looks at the present, verse 18 and 19. Now also when I am old and gray-headed. Now when I am old and gray-headed. Now you may color your hair, but if you don't get it colored, guess what? It will probably turn white or gray. Notice what the psalmist said. The psalmist here is just dealing with it. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. Do you notice how several places in the psalm, the psalmist is asking God, don't forget me, don't abandon me, don't leave me, don't forsake me. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength. Notice he didn't capitalize on his personal physical strength of himself. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God, who is like you? And so he looks once more at the circumstances of his life, and he expresses his appreciation of God in old age. And then verse 20 through 24, he speaks of the prospect. The prospect of his future. Notice he says, he speaks about a glorious resurrection in verse 20. You who have shown me great and severe troubles. Notice that. He realizes that life is filled with them. He says, shall revive me again. Revive me again. He's speaking about resurrection, the glorious resurrection. You shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. What a wonderful thing in the Old Testament. Jesus had not come yet. The resurrection had not happened. But how did these Old Testament people get saved? They were looking to the cross. Barb sang about it a while ago. They were looking to the cross through faith to receive the wonderful gift of grace. You and I are looking back 2,000 years to the cross by faith. And notice he speaks about this glorious resurrection. In verse 21, he speaks about a glorious reign with God. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. The Bible says you and I will rule and reign with Christ someday. And that was a glorious thought to the psalmist. Verse 22 through 24, we see his glorious response to God. Also with the lute, I will praise you. Some people think maybe David wrote this about Samuel. Samuel, of course, was the one who had the first Bible school in the Old Testament. You know, he had the school of the prophets. And some believe that maybe he's the one. Samuel perhaps introduced the musical instruments into the praise. But notice he says, also with the lute, I will praise you in your faithfulness. O my God, to you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. Notice once again the salvation there. in the Old Testament. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. The psalmist has no grumbling, no complaining, no jealousy, but is singing with the music of heaven filling his heart. His life is full of melody. His life had become a receiver as well as a transmitter. He wanted to pass on to other generations. That's his response to God in Psalm 71 as he faces the bumpy road ahead. Like the hymn writer, which put it this way, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with his living bread. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me, he's promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight in realms of day, this my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. When I think about these wonderful old hymns, I don't know about you, but just as the psalmist was singing from the hymn book of the Psalms, you and I can assure you, on days you feel the most disheartened, sing a song. I was in the nursing home one day. There was a lady. She was 100 years old. She was walking the hallways, and I've never heard anyone sing any more inspirational than she was singing to the top of her voice, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with you, singing as I go." As she sang that song all the way up and down the hallways, I walked away that day far more blessed than being a blessing to those I had visited, because she had blessed me. The psalmist, in the midst of life, in the midst of age, in the midst of faltering steps, reached out and said, "I will praise him. I will continually praise him. His praise will be upon my lips." Would you stand as we pray together? God bless you for being here.